Thank you very much, Mr. Wes Tuttle. Is that what that is? Wire. Huh? I don't know. Got to touch the wire. Somebody took the wire. Okay, excuse us for that brief stop. We had some sound problems with our system. We have such a high-tech system.
It's high-pitched, not high-tech.
Yeah, high-pitched. Okay, I have a couple of emergency prayer things come up. I think most of you know Judith Young. Her mother and dad, or the stepfather, are in their mid-80s, and late this afternoon, as it stands now, some Mexicans just broke the door down, robbed them, and beat them up. Beat them up so badly that they had to airlift them to the hospital closer to town, and when I left, they were in the emergency room, both of them, and I just don't understand why people got to beat up old people. I don't know what kind of jollies you get out of that.
Where do they live?
They live in DeSoto.
Oh, DeSoto.
Yeah.
They're just vulnerable.
Yeah.
Where's that shotgun on the porch?
Yeah. And well, I tell you what, they talk about taking away our weapons, man. It just things like this, because they're not going to find them. They're not going to find them. And
were they able to call for help themselves? Did that happen?
You know what, Eve? I don't know those details.
Oh, okay.
I do not know. I do not know if they called or neighbors saw what was going on or what. So I'll have to find out what was going on.
They broke the door down?
As I understood, they just kicked it and came in. Caught them totally by surprise and beat them up, took their wedding rings, and just stuffed the value and got out of there. And so please be in prayer if you're a prayer warrior. Mr. and Mrs. McKee, Ms. McKee, and so please be in prayer. God will touch their bodies and take care of the family. Judith and all of the children are alarmed. That was always one of my main daily prayers with my mother. She lived alone in Houston, the Heights, which wasn't that safe. I just constantly would pray. And I'd ask her, and she, I'm not afraid. I said, Mom, I'd be afraid. I'd have a gun by my bed. I still have one. What are you doing, Mom? She said, no, this is my neighborhood. I'm okay.
She knew her neighbors, though.
Huh?
She knew all her neighbors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The only problem was, on the if you're looking at the house, on the left side there was a house that just kind of rotated people.
Oh, right.
And so they would get to know that Mom was alone. And but right across the street, right over there, next door, and the next door to that, they all near. And so I'm very thankful that nothing like that ever happened to her. I can't imagine your mother being beat up to the point of having to go to the hospital. But so let's please be in prayer. Also, I talked with Nancy Becker today, and Nancy's not only is she not getting better, she's getting worse. So please be in prayer for Nancy Becker. She's gone to two or three different doctors and HO specialists, just different people that are supposed to be able to help her, and nobody's been able to help her. And it seems to, not only is the fractured hip not healing, it's causing other problems in the spinal system and spinal cord, So please be in prayer for Nancy. She went to a doctor today at 3 in Kansas City, but I haven't had a chance to hear from her what happened. So please be in prayer, a special prayer for Nancy Becker. Be in prayer for Judith's mother and stepfather. And be in prayer for my friend Mickey Bell. He might come in tomorrow night. But just be in prayer for Mickey. He needs your prayers. Cindy and Vic Edwards need our prayers. Bless their heart. They're getting old. And so, is there any other prayer requests that we have that I'm not aware of? Okay. This is coming together. I've been working what we'll be doing tomorrow night, and I like the way that this is all coming together in the study. So let's prepare ourselves for our study. Spend some time in prayer. Test yourself to see if you're trusting the Spirit. And let's get into our study and maybe finish up the Christmas part of our story. Well, the other part will also be Christmas, as you'll see. But anyway, the Christmas story. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, how thankful you are that you're a God that we can come to. You're a God who cares about each and every one of us. You are conscious of the bird, every bird that falls from the sky, conscious of every hair that's on our head, especially those in the body of Christ. There are no accidents. Father, tonight we just put before you Judah's mom and stepfather. Touch their body and help them to get through the pain and healing process and be with the children and just give them an inner strength, Father, that your Spirit gives. Pray for Nancy Becker. Don't know what you're doing there, but just pray, Father, that you'll guide her to the right specialist that can help her. And pray for Cindy and Vic Edwards, Father, as they go into age of difficulty, you will guide them. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come tonight, open the text, and see what love looks like, how your love saw us in need and met that need by sending us your uniquely born Son. Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. In Christ's name, amen. Jory, maybe it was about a month ago, we were praying for one of your friends that worked out at the shop, weren't we? Wow. What's happened there? Okay, and he's okay? Good. Ah. Okay, well, let's continue to be in prayer then. It's a very important thing. You know, think about maybe where I failed a little bit as a pastor, besides teaching y'all who Dorcas is. in the heaven and hell and friends that we know, this is no game. And making the gospel clear, God went to all this trouble to send us his Son and died on a cross and resurrected, that we ought to care enough for everyone to respond to the gospel. And so this becomes very important. I was talking to Mickey today, and he talking to some lady friends, and he just starts out and said, "Well, now, do you go to church?" And "Where do you go?" "Well, do y'all believe in Jesus Christ as Savior by faith only?" I said, "No wonder you don't have any girlfriends." that's got to be our attitude. It really does. Okay, Luke chapter 2, verse 10. We have the angel of the Lord, this is Jesus Christ, said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news," that's a gospel, "of great joy," the good news that brings great joy, "which shall be to for all the people of the world. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, very quickly, they knew the city of David was Bethlehem. So they knew that. Born for you. And that very important phrase, "for you," the communion service, "This is my body, which is for you." And this is his personal sensitivity to our needs. A Savior, and we spent some time in dealing with the concept of a Savior, how he is different from the deliverer of the judges, the Savior of the judges, though the same word is used, but he is different in that he is the Son of God. And then, who is Christ the Lord? And this is where we had to close Sunday morning, is in this title, Christ the Lord. We have no article, two nominatives, Christ Lord, that is Messiah or Anointed One, that's Christ. And this is the only time in the New Testament when this phrase, Christ the Lord, is used. We noted that it's very close in Lamentations 4:20. We have something close to it. Luke 2:26, close to it. And now, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, a moment. Okay, Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts 2, 36. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." There's so many verses like this, just lost away, and I don't have time to note them all, but this one is just another one filled with just so much about Jesus Christ. And first of all, you'll know the crucial issue is to know. Got to know these things. And first of all, they note then that it is God who makes Jesus Christ Lord, not mankind. We do not make him Lord in order to be saved. We believe in him as our Savior. But this lordship salvation is just so horrible, heretical teaching. And next, the words used by Jesus Christ are an attack again to Satan, this time in the form of Rome, its ruler. And so the good news is the good news that this Christ has been born. And so this is what we got going on. Now let's go to Luke chapter 2. Go back to Luke chapter 2 now. And in verse 1, and we have Augustus, the Caesar Augustus, and so this is a picture of Satan. It was believed that Augustus was Savior, who would end all wars and bring peace. Satan often presents himself in this manner. And many throughout history see this Satan figure promising peace and all these things. And over again, they never, ever do. But for the eye that will see, over and over he fails. This figure that promises peace, that fails to bring peace, and he will fail. And Obama's going to fail if this is his objective, and because he's not going to do it. The only way you're going to have it in Satan's world, to have a powerful military. Just have the most powerful, deadly military, and not run by a lamb, run by a lion. And that's the only thing that's going to keep people away from you. That's what kept Rome so powerful for so long, was their military. And this type of thing is going to go on even to the dictator of the revived Roman Empire in the tribulation. So here, in this proclamation, Jesus Christ is speaking more than just to the shepherds. And has been born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord. Okay, now we come to verse 12. "And this will be a sign to now. You notice we just left out so much in verse 11, and Christ, the Anointed One, and the Lord is the ruler, all ruling, and so this is who He is, Messiah, or the Anointed One, the Lord. Okay, and the Lord has to do with His deity. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is God. And we'll come to that tomorrow night. Verse 12, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. Okay, there's so much here. And I just want to start it off by saying, the Jews seek signs. I've met so many Christians throughout my life, I just wish God would give me a sign. I wish I'd know if I ought to marry this person or buy this home. If I just had a sign, maybe while I'm driving to get the loan, it'll rain, and that'll be a sign that He doesn't want me to. Or people look for this. People, we walk by faith. We don't walk by signs. That's walking by sight. If you need a sign, you're walking by sight. And we live walking by faith. Now, let's take a look at the phrase, you will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. What's so special about this baby? Here is where failure to correctly translate presents a problem. This baby is not wrapped in just ordinary clothes. There'll be many babies that'll be wrapped in clothes, but this baby is wrapped in death clothes. Now, this is something special. This is something unusual. They'll not find very many babies wrapped in death clothes and newly born babies. The next, lying in a feeding trough. Again, this is rather unusual. But to find a baby wrapped in death clothes and lying in a feeding trough, this is special. This is unique. Very unique. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 58. Luke 9:58. And Jesus said to him, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head." Okay, so He's taking the lowest creature, animals, and He's showing, and by the way, there's something behind why He chose foxes and birds, dealing with the angelic conflict and all, but we'll deal with that later. But the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Another title for Savior, Son of God, Son of Man. He must be both. Okay, verse 13. So they've given a sign. Jews love signs, and they're given a sign, and they have that to go by, and so verse 13. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel. Note the single. This is the angel of the Lord. This is Jesus Christ, and now with Him appeared suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying. Now, one of our fun things in the book of Revelation has been the number of times they're singing in heaven and about what God is doing as far as His authority and rule. And so Christmas here, the idea is that Christmas is a time of heavenly worship and praise. And this is what it does. The birth of our Savior, which is a Christmas story. God gave His Son. Gave is our Christmas story. Causes singing and praise in heaven. This time, we do have to look at the Greek word for suddenly. And this is not the word that appeared in verse 9. It's used here for sudden appearance. Now, I can't really take you through a discourse on the difference between and appeared. And how that differs from suddenly. But they're two different Greek words, and it's suddenly. So not only here before the shepherds, but sudden response in heaven. Just suddenly it happened. We need to see all this is so important to the angels, people. The Christmas gift from God, the Christmas story, is important to angels. They're watching. always remember that. The why we're here is because angels are watching and seeing what's going on. So this is very important. And those who have chosen to follow God, the elect angels, those who have chosen to follow Satan, the fallen angels, they're all watching and watching this drama unfold. To us, it's been 2,000 years ago for where we are now. But the angels, they don't exist in time like we do. So they're just seeing these sequence of events occur, and so all of this is making a difference to them. And those who have chosen to follow God are joyful and of what is going on in the Christmas story. All right, the book of Revelation is filled with new songs, but here is a new song at his birth. Christmas is a time of praise, a song of praise for his love. My prayer for you in 2009, it'll be a year of praise. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what happens in the United States, what happens in Dallas, but I hope for you that 2009 will be a time when you will praise God no matter what is going on, and that Christ continues to be formed in you. Okay, we come to verse 14. Verse 14. We have part of the song that is sung, maybe all of it, but at least part of the song that is sung by the host of angels. Glory to God in the highest. Okay, so the first place they're looking at is in heaven. Christmas affects the angels. And then it says, and on earth. So you see, we have two different places. This is very dramatic. So glory to God in the highest, that's heaven, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. Well, here we are back to Romans 2. Sounds like works. Sounds like you got to do something. Those with whom he's pleased. Is God pleased with you? Are you doing good? Are you giving money? Are you doing all these good things? Or are you sinning and all this other stuff? That's what it reads like. So, this is a powerful verse, and let's take a look at what it means. All right, first of all, verse 14. Emphasis is on places, and results are effect of his being born into the human race. In other words, the results and effect of the Christmas story. First of all, places. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Then we have the results, going to be glory and peace. God is glorified in heaven. This is where the spiritual warfare is going on. So let's take a look at heaven. Glory to God in the highest. Okay, what glory? What is the glory referred to here? The glory of his person. The glory of his love. The glory, remember in Revelation chapter 5 and 6, who is qualified to open the book, the seven sealed book? Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And they sing praises to him. So here we have them singing praises for his coming to earth. This is what a God of glory. And what his love would look like. How it's demonstrated. Okay. He is from heaven. This is why there is so much rejoicing in heaven. Now, what is the result of his love on earth? Peace. Peace. And on earth, peace. And, what does it say? Peace among men with whom God is pleased. I want to take care of one thing right up front. This is not talking about world peace by government. This is not talking about the absence of war between nations. This is not talking about peace in a family. This is not talking about that kind of peace. So he came to earth to offer salvation to all mankind. The effect is glory to God in the highest. The effect on earth, peace in men. Peace in men. And I point that out. It says peace among men in your text there. But we have an incorrect translation of the preposition in. E-N. And it's translated in. I-N. Peace in men, not among men. Talking about peace that comes inside of us when we have made peace between ourselves and God. The barrier has been broken. We have peace with God. So it is not among men. That is, those kinds of little translations cause so much incorrect understanding. This is peace in men. This is peace. This isn't really even talking about the peace that comes as a fruit of the Spirit. This is a peace between us and God. Remember, there is a barrier, hostility between man and God. We are at peace with God now. So peace among men, or peace in men, not among men. The wrongful translation leads people into all kinds of faulty translation, faulty understanding. This is an inner peace between us and God. This is peace between man and God again, which is why he came to earth. This is not peace that man can give between nations by stopping war. This is not referring to world peace, the way of the liberals interpret this passage. This is not the peace of Augustus, not the peace that the world can give. John 14:27 says, let me just read it to you. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. Okay, how does the world give? You earn it. What kind of peace does he give? By faith. So, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Okay, peace is what God has achieved in the Christmas story. In fact, peace is one of the greatest effects of God's love. Peace is one of the greatest effects of God's love. And let me tell you something. So is spiritual love. When a believer demonstrates spiritual love, he establishes an environment of peace between husband and wife, between friends, people at the church, at work, wherever you are. Peace, spiritual love establishes peace, establishes the environment of peace. Now, see, here's what I'm trying to say is, let's say in a family you exercise spiritual love, all right, you set up the environment of peace. Doesn't mean they'll take it. Doesn't mean they'll respond. They may just cause more trouble, being very angry that you're not angry. But you have established the environment of peace. So peace is an effect of spiritual love. Peace is yet another of those words or concepts, again, that we could spend a great deal on, take 20 points on the doctrine of Aranas, the word for peace. This is God's peace, not man's. Peace that God establishes with no help from mankind. Let's note a few things about peace, though. I'm not going to take up 20 points, but let's just note, I've got four points here. Let's take a look. One, the absence of war or disharmony between God and man, which can only be by the work of God. This bounces off of what we saw Sunday morning. If we cause trouble in the way humans deal with things, it's up to me to establish peace with you, to make you happy. But in this case, there's nothing we can do. God, in the Christmas story, giving his son, is establishing this peace. Secondly, by this first sending of God, the son, lays the foundation for peace that comes from the second sending, that is the sending of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is peace, love, joy, peace, cannot be experienced until you are in a position of peace, which is the peace that's being talked about here. Three, and we're going to see this tomorrow night more, but I'll just say it here. Peace here is reconciliation. Peace here is reconciliation. Man being reconciled with God. God winning back our hearts through giving the gift of Christmas. Restoration. Communion between man and God. This is the Christmas story. Four, peace is directly linked with the promised Messiah. Peace is directly linked with the promised Messiah. If you will, let's turn to Isaiah 9. And we're going to look at verse 6. I'll say that in case someone wants to write it down and in turn. Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, verse 6. All right, verse 6. For a child will be born, prophecy, will be born to us, a son will be given to us. So first a child will be born. He's a male child. Will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Okay, let's look at Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. Now, just while you're turning, you want to remember that Isaiah 53 is the great story of his resurrection, or his crucifixion, excuse me. How he's put on a cross bearing transgressions and being buried. All those things are in Isaiah 52, excuse me, 53. This is Isaiah 52 setting up for Isaiah 53. Isaiah 52, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, the gospel, who announces peace. Christmas is about peace. And how many families don't experience peace on Christmas? Who announces peace and brings good news, the gospel of happiness. So what are the results of Christmas? Peace and happiness. Who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. So here we have the Christmas story, the announcement of his birth. And then in Isaiah 53, we're going to go into the crucifixion. And we have this is so beautifully laid out, these two chapters laid out together. So, and you can, Isaiah 52. All right, let's go back to Luke chapter 2 now, please. The word peace. Peace that pleases God is a peace by total forgiveness of sins. That's what has to happen on a cross, people. If there's not the total forgiveness of sins, we're in trouble, which Messiah himself alone provides for all. And this forgiveness of sin, it amazes me, people's theology. Either on the cross, Christ died for the sins of the world, past, present, and future, or he didn't. And this is where the Roman Church gets involved with purgatory and confession and last rites and all these type of things. All this is forgiveness of sin. No, people, forgiveness of sin took care of on the cross. Took care of on the cross. And that brings in a great understanding of, well, I believe you're forgiven of sins if you confess them. No, you're already forgiven. You're already forgiven. And this will become so important. So the peace that pleases God is a peace by the total forgiveness of sin, which the Messiah himself alone provides for all. Without the coming of the Messiah, there would be no Christmas. There would be no pardon. There would be no peace. So the Christmas story. We have the 33 years between his coming and his death. But in God's eyes, it's just boom, boom, birth. Like a double pump. Boom, boom. His birth, crucifixion, resurrection. But the good news is he has come. This is the Christmas story. So this is why peace is given. Peace freely offered to man. Peace graciously received by our faith. And having received this peace of salvation, we should live under the condition of peace with God. That's the filling of the Spirit. So we are in a position of peace with God. We ought to live in that position. Romans 5:1, I'll just read it to you. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace is established at the cross. It's there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, salvation one. This is where believers are saved by faith. not by anything that we do to make God look down in favor on us and all that, or no repentance for it, no confession for it, no sorrow for it. All these things may be related in preceding it, but the act that saves is faith in Jesus Christ. Now we have peace with God. Declaration, let us have peace with God. So the way we have peace with God is by faith in His Son. Positionally, we're in a state of peace. This is the Christmas gift. I'm giving you peace. Eternal peace with God. Or, since this is a Christmas study, rest in heavenly peace. Like the song, the carol says, this is a peace we have now with God, saved in this position. Rest in heavenly peace. Beautiful words. How accurate. This is heavenly, brought down from heaven. It has nothing to do with here on earth. This is a peace we have now with God, saved into this position, placed in this position of peace with Him, and that can never be changed, no matter how bad a person is. Since it is His work, His salvation, His peace, there's nothing we can do to lose it. Now, we may get a lot of trouble on earth and all, but that has nothing to do with our peace that we have with Him. We may not experience it. May not experience this peace in our lives. I just don't experience this peace. I don't have this peace. Well, what's the problem? They don't know how to get that peace by the filling of the Spirit. Hank Williams, in senior, in a testimony that I have, he said, I believe in the Savior, and I did see the light, but I just don't have that peace that I thought I'd have through my life. And I understand what he's saying. Some people have said, oh, well, he was not really a Christian. No. I believe he believed in Christ. But he never understood how to be filled with the Spirit. And I think that explains away a lot of Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ, but nobody teaches them. They teach them religion, works, church of works, and all this stuff. They don't experience His peace. But once you start walking in the Spirit, something just happens supernaturally. This boy, when you start learning that spirituality is by faith in the Holy Spirit, and you put that faith in Him, you just slowly start experiencing this wonderful peace, that no matter what's going on, you have this peace. So there's nothing we can do to lose it. It's the Holy Spirit gives it experientially, the third member of the Godhead. Second Sanding, we're studying on normally on Wednesday night. And it's a fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. That peace is experiencing the peace that we enjoy with Him positionally. So a person may have it positionally, but if you want it experientially, that comes by the second sending, the Holy Spirit. I think most of you understand that. So let's move on. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, by or through first sending, we can have eternal peace. By the second sending, experiential peace. Now, look with me at Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Luke 2, 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. This is where we are. Glory to God in the highest. And so next we have another problem, with whom He is pleased. Okay, this is a big problem. This phrase has one word in the Greek. It's what pleases, with whom He is pleased. And the Greek is what pleases. Now, you have the New American Standard. The NIV, let me see if I can get this on the board. The NIV says, so first is NIV, and it says, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. Okay, it's a little different than the King James. Than the New American Standard. Now, the King James, it says, and on earth, peace, it's our word, good will toward men. There's nothing about whom he's pleased. Now, which is saying that God is pleased with certain people. Question, what is it that God is pleased with? What is it that pleases God? The word please is not a verb, but a noun. It's a genitive, a feminine genitive, singular. Now, to find out what it is that pleases God, look for a noun that is in agreement with this. And that which is in agreement is the peace. God is pleased with peace that birth of His Son, the birth of His Son brings. God is pleased with peace that the birth of His Son brings. This is powerful. So much different than with whom He's pleased, because that sounds like we got to work for it. God is pleased with peace. Not that man brings, but that the birth of His Son brings. So here we have the birth related to it. Okay, people, this is so powerful a concept here. Hope we can see it. Why is it so important? All right, first of all, who establishes this peace? God. This peace is totally the work of God, not man's. So the peace that pleases God is not a peace by man and formed by man. It's a peace that God alone can do. This peace is not the work of the creature or angels. God established this peace, and that gives Him glory in the highest. We do not establish this peace. We cannot do anything to bring about this peace. So, how different is this from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where it is up to one who offends to establish peace? Under the tree of knowledge of good and evil, I've done wrong, I should do something. That's the basic instinct of man. I have to do something, and if I do good, I should be rewarded for it. But the peace that pleases God is a peace that God Himself establishes. He is the one offended, yet He is the one who establishes peace. Man's view, if you want peace in this marriage, you have to promise you'll never do that again. Then you have to do this, and you have to do that. In any kind of relationship, it's all up to the offender to make sure that they can be trusted, and that they can do right, and that they can crawl on glass, and all this kind of stuff. See? That's the way man sees this thing. But the peace that pleases God is a peace that He Himself brings, and we just come to Him with our faith. So what kind of peace pleases God? Peace that He Himself establishes by His love. Peace that pleases God is the peace that the giving of His Son brings, the Christmas story. Peace that pleases God is a peace that establishes reconciliation, restoration, free to all who will simply trust. A peace which God can offer to win our hearts back. This peace is in men. And then it says, again, with whom He is well pleased. Question, what are the things that will please Him? Put these two phrases together, and we learn what pleases God, what pleases Jesus Christ. This verse is not teaching the works that God wants. So what does God please God? To answer this, we must know what brings about the peace between God and man. Answer, what results in peace between God and man? The Christmas story, the offering of His Son. So, our faith in Jesus Christ is what causes God to be pleased with mankind. Okay? What is it that causes God to be pleased? The answer, what results in peace between God and man, is what pleases God. Our faith in Christ. So our faith in Jesus Christ is what causes God to be pleased with each individual. That pleases Him. Not talking about sin. We're talking about faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. In fact, let's turn to this one. This is powerful. Deals with what we're looking at. Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. There's our pleasing. What pleases God? With those whom He is pleased, okay, it is impossible to please Him without faith. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. This is what pleases God. Okay, what is your view of God? That you have to do for Him, to be rewarded by Him, you have to do for Him. Or is your view of God that you just trust Him? Okay, we have enough time to finish what we want to get done tonight. Back to chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. Faith in Jesus Christ is what pleases God. Faith in the Holy Spirit, by the way, is what pleases God for the believer. Okay, Christmas is seeking by faith. Look at verse 15 now. And it came about when the angels who accompanied the angel of the Lord, had gone away from them into heaven. So the angels returned to heaven. They returned. Now, we don't know what they look like. We do not know what they look like. We have various descriptions in the Old Testament, other places. Some had two wings, some had four wings, some even had six wings. So we don't know what angels look like here. But they had gone away from them, from the shepherds, into heaven. They returned to where they came, back to the highest. That the shepherds began saying to one another. Now here you can see that they're calm. Remember, the first thing Christ did was, calm down, don't be afraid. For I've got an announcement to make to you. I want you to be able, you can't think if you're in fear. You can't think if you're upset. So you got to be calmed down so that they can think. So they've got it. So what did they do? The shepherds began to say to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem. Let's go straight to Bethlehem. So first note, they went straight to Bethlehem. They did not go and tell others. Then they knew. And also, you know, that they knew that the city of David was Bethlehem. This is beautiful stuff going on here. They went straight to find out. They didn't go tell anybody else yet. They wanted to get the news. And see this thing that has happened, which the Lord, so they knew the angel of the Lord was the Lord, which the Lord has made known to us. Notice which the Lord has made known, so they know the angel of the Lord is the Lord Himself. Verse 16. And they came in haste. This reflects an attitude. They wasted no time and found. Christmas is seeking and finding. And found. Greek word carries the idea of looking and then finding. Their way to Mary and Joseph. A baby as he lay in the manger. Now, I don't know, but I can tell you what. The Holy Spirit leads and guides. So, they may have just asked a few people and finally went to the inn, and he said there's a couple out in the stalls. But one way or the other, they found out. So they came in haste, verse 16, reflects an attitude, their way to Joseph and Mary. All right, not just Mary, but Mary and Joseph. So there's whole this worship of Mary just doesn't hold up in any of the scriptures. Notice that they did not bring a gift. I want you to notice that. They did not bring a gift. They brought their great happiness. Does everyone have to give you a gift? You have to receive a gift to be happy? No. Their happiness. They recognize. I think it's just amazing to think about how Joseph and Mary must have been that night, the baby born, and then here come some shepherds, not kings and not all his others, not religious leaders, not the fair, but here come some shepherds filled with joy over this. So they did not bring a gift. The effective witnessing of truth has its impact in your own life. They witnessed the newborn baby, they witnessed the Messiah, the Lord, and it brought them great joy. Now verse 17. And when they had seen this, now they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. They did not bring any gifts. They just brought their joy and the good news that they received from the Lord. They brought it to Joseph and Mary. That's why they were there. Listen, we've been told that the baby, the Messiah, the Lord is going to be born, has been born this day. And so they shared with them. And I'm sure that was encouragement to Joseph and Mary. Note the word seen. These shepherds, like the disciples, walked by sight, whereas we have to walk by faith. They saw the newborn baby. We have not seen the newborn baby, but it's as true to us by faith as it was to them looking by sight. About this child, that child was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Verse 18, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So they left Mary and Joseph, went into the town, and started telling people. And people who listened to these lowly shepherds wondered about it. Grace always amazes people. Miracles always amaze people, even if they don't believe it. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Well, my goodness, here's the Queen of Heaven, the Eternal Virgin, one who answers prayers. What is she doing? She's pondering, trying to figure all this out. The Greek word doesn't mean to treasure. That makes a nice Christmas word. Doesn't mean to treasure. It means to just gather them. Like we would gather the facts of something and we start looking at it, trying to figure out what's going on. Now, I was told I was going to have this baby miraculously, and Joseph, and I was told I had to not have you murdered. Remember, he could have had her murdered by law. She's pregnant. And so they start looking. And then we had to come all the way down from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And wait a minute, you know what? There's a passage in the prophecy of Isaiah, how the baby, or in Micah, how the baby would be born in Bethlehem. And then here the shepherds come. And in Micah, they're told about, and I can just see them take all these things that they have, and the death clothes, and lay it in a feeding trough. Doesn't mean she gathered these up as treasures, people. That makes a nice Christmas word, but it's not what happened. They're trying to piece all this together. They didn't, let's take this feeding trough, and let's take this, and let's take, I'm sure they took the frankincense and myrrh that the wise men gave them later. But here, she just gathered these things up in her mind. She pondered over them. Verse 20, and the shepherds went back to their lives, which would never be the same, glorifying and praising God. This is what Christmas is, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. So Christmas is about glorifying and praising God. They understood the Messiah had come, something others did not understand, others did not even believe. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer and get ready for tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. We'll go close to 8, and then we'll break and have some fellowship time, come back and finish our study and have communion. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. What a beautiful story, Heavenly Father, and we've gone through it so quickly. In just a few hours, we've covered so many wonderful things, miraculous things, in the Christmas story. Sometimes I think even we who understand these things get focused on the wrong things at Christmas time. Get focused on things and rather than on the Christmas gift. Rather than on how promises were fulfilled, prophecies were fulfilled, signifying that our God is sufficient to be God and He's the only one sufficient to be God. How God loved us and became man, and that's the Christmas story, and how Christmas brings peace to mankind that pleases you. All of this involved in the Christmas story, not the crucifixion, not even the resurrection, but the joy that Christmas should bring in our souls. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.